Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We have had a lot of stuff to talk about in today's show. We're off in 30 minutes. We'll hand things off to Vern. Let me tell you that it is a beautiful day outside. So I don't know what evening plans you have. Maybe you and the lady plan on going to the patio and having something to drink. Maybe you plan on grilling outside and doing something maybe today or tomorrow, or obviously on Sunday for Mother's Day, or you plan on going out to the ballpark. But whatever it is, I'm telling you, it is absolutely gorgeous outside today. All right. There's probably four or five things I want to talk about before we sign off today. Let's start with this. I told the story earlier. I'll tell it again for those of you that missed it. There is a Michael Jordan story about Mel Turpin, and the story goes like this. The Bulls were playing the Jazz, and Jordan gets a steal, and he dunks on John Stockton. You guys know John Stockton. He's not the biggest NBA player. A fan goes up to Mike and says, "Why don't you dunk on someone your own size?" Mike then comes back down the next time down the court. He dunks on Mel Turpin. He's a 7-foot center. Mike then goes back to that fan and then says, "Is he tall enough?" The reason I tell you guys that story and the reason I bring that up is to ask this question about the Royals. The Royals have not necessarily beaten a murderer's row of teams during this stretch. Now, you can only beat the teams that are on your schedule. They are 15-2 over their last 17. This is not me trying to poke at the Royals. But the Royals beat up on the Colorado Rockies. They're the worst team in baseball. The Royals have beat up on the Chicago White Sox. They've beat up on Baltimore, maybe the most disappointing team. Tampa Bay is 16-21 so far. They have done a lot of work over the last 2.5 weeks against some of the bottom teams of the league or some of the more disappointing teams in the league. If you want to look at their schedule like this, they are 16-16 against everybody else in baseball. They are 7-0 against the White Sox and the Rockies. Now, again, this is not me trying to poke at the Royals, but I do want to ask this question. Are we going to do this same thing if they beat the Red Sox? Because I'm looking at the Red Sox, and I think the Red Sox are in the same class as the Royals. I don't think they're the Yankees, but they're a potential playoff team that in the right scenario, they could get hot and make a run. That right now, if you look at the standings, the Red Sox sit at 20-19. But I don't want to hear the argument if the Royals sweep the Red Sox or if they win 2 of 3. Well, Boston's under 500. I mean, they weren't when they came to Kansas City. So my big question this weekend, I really have two questions about the Royals. If you want to find reasons to take away from what the Royals have done based on the opposition, you certainly can if that's what you want to do. But My question moving forward is, are we prepared to do this if they beat Boston? Because Boston, if you look at the schedule, they're one of the top five teams in the American League. I don't know what more the Royals could do other than you have a pretty good team coming into Kauffman Stadium. This team, the Red Sox, they have scored almost 60 more runs this season than the Royals. They are a better lineup than the Royals. They are a better offense than the Royals. They spend more on payroll than the Royals. This is a pretty good baseball team that's coming into town. And if the Royals do what they're supposed to do and continue what they've been doing these last couple of weeks, I certainly don't find any reasons to poke any holes in what they've done. Obviously, we got a long way to go in this thing, but I think this is a really, really good litmus test for the Royals. I think this is a really, really good measuring stick series to see where they are. The other place that I think this is a really good metric for the Royals is, and we talked about this a little bit earlier with Vern, I understand the differences in these two, so you guys don't have to say, oh, well, that was different. I got it. I was there. You guys didn't really need much nudging to go support the 2015 Royals. Now, I get it. The 2014 Royals went to the World Series, and there was so much hope and optimism, and they were the biggest story in town. The economy was different in 2015. The Chiefs were different in 2015. I have to go through all of the differences, but the 2015 Royals played a May 7th baseball game. Rob, you want to take a guess how many people went out there to watch the Royals on May 7th? In 2015, so basically a decade ago, they were on the road in May 9th. You want to know how many people went out there on a Thursday, May 7th, to watch the Royals against a team in their division, the Cleveland? They weren't the Guardians back then, but you know.
I would say somewhere between 20 to 25 is the number.
On Thursday, May 7th, 2015, at home, the Royals got 38,271 people to go out there.
That's a sellout. They had a sellout.
Now, maybe it was school day at the K and I didn't look it up that hard. I'm guessing they didn't do a big slick on a Thursday back then. No, that was you guys completely, fully bought into the Kansas City Royals and going out there. I mean, I hear all the time, well, you know, in Kansas City, you're not going to get, I mean, they got 30,000 people on that Tuesday. On Tuesday, May 5th, they got 29,000 people out there to go watch them. You guys didn't need to be nudged to go support the Royals that year. You wanted to go out there. Now, this is not me to look down on you for the attendance, but this is my question. There are a handful of ways to show that you are bought into a team. Rob, you're a KU football fan. Things were kind of bleak for a long period of time. Hey, the moment you thought the KU football was good, you guys were back out there to the point where you guys hosted College Game Day. I'm looking at this series as a really good test to see how bought in the Royals fans are with what they're doing. Because in 2015, it would have been 35,000 people out there tonight. You cannot ask for a better scenario of things to all line up at one time. You have perfect weather, a big market club in town, and the hottest team in baseball led by one of the biggest stars in the game. I think just about every other baseball city in America would have 30,000 people out there, even if it is graduation week, even if Katy Perry is coming into town, even if the Current are in town on Sunday and having a game. If this was Detroit, they'd have 30,000 people. If this was Cleveland, they'd have 30,000 people. If this was Milwaukee, you name your Midwestern type city, they would be out there this weekend. I'm going to be really, really intrigued to see what the number looks like today. And I think the number today is just going to give us a good answer on, are you guys buying what the Royals are selling? Because the Royals are selling you something. They're selling you this is real. They're selling you that we're different. We think we can't compete. Are you guys buying it? You guys listen on the radio. I know. I see the ratings. You guys watch them on television. There is a little bit of a gap between those first two things and going out there and supporting the product. And again, if I add everything up, there's no reason why they shouldn't have a great weekend out at the stadium. So those are the two things that I'm looking for this weekend. Number one, they're playing another team that's in their weight class. They haven't played that really in the last 2 weeks. Now, they have done exactly what you're supposed to do when you are the bigger, stronger opponent. They've beat up on the weaker opponents. You're now playing a team that can throw just as equal a punch as you can. How do the Royals look in that scenario? And I'm also looking to see what the attendance is this weekend and how bought in, how invested you guys are in this team. And are you guys willing to go out there? Are you buying what the Royals are selling? Those are my two big things I'm looking for this weekend, Rob.
I mean, those are the two biggest hurdles for the Royals. And there's no reason to believe they can't keep up with the Red Sox. I know people love to play the schedule game with, you know, the Royals, and oh, they're only winning because, you know, they're beating da-da-da. This is a team that if you win this series, no one's calling for a sweep. If you win this series, you will push the Red Sox under 500. I do not want on Monday the text line to be like, well, they just beat bad teams. Another example, the Red Sox, they're under 500. You know why the Red Sox are under 500? The Royals beat them. Someone on the text line pointed this out, and they're correct. When the Rays and Royals got together, and the Rays are not great. The Rays are just mid. The Rays were above 500 when they were getting ready to face the Royals. The Royals swept them, which now bumped them to below 500, which now makes the schedule look a little bit different. I hope Royals fans are starting to buy in, because that 2015 analogy is perfect. And I get it. There's a difference between making the World Series Game 7 at home versus what the Royals did last season, losing the DS at home. But fans looked at that Royals team, which was the first playoff team in, what, 3 decades, basically, and said, okay, they went to the World Series last year, I'm bought in. Last year, the Royals went to the World Series for the first time, for the first time since 2015, and we don't have the fan buy-in yet. The Royals are currently the hottest team in baseball, and I'm curious that fan buy-in comes now, because it did take a nudge in 2015. You had to see greatness in 14. You have seen really good from the Royals last season and to start this season. That should be the nudge to get people out there. I want to see 30,000 tonight. I want to get tweets from people being like, Rob, they actually sold out. You have to eat your words. That's what I want more than anything, because baseball in this town is mattering again, and I wish more than 12,000 people went out there to support a team that really matters, because they have fourth best record in the American League.
Someone on the text line says, CDOT, it's not only just the fact that the Royals were the defending American League champions, they also whipped up on everybody to start that season. What if I told you that the Royals were the same number of games over 500 on their May 7th, that home game I just gave you that they are right now? After the game on May 7th, they were 18-11. The Royals are 23-16 right now. So, yes, the Royals in 2015 got off to an incredible start, kind of like the start that this year's Royals team has gotten off to. Now, the baseball season just started, it starts earlier now than it did back then. You remember, with the new CBA, they start games earlier, trying to give them more off days. So again, I'm not saying that this Royals team is the 2015 team, and I understand that the momentum from 2014 carried into 2015, and the Royals were the number one storyline. But I'm sitting here looking at some of the things on the text line. Well, see, that location is why the attendance at Kauffman isn't great. I mean, they got 38,000 people on a Thursday in 2015 to go out there, and the stadium hasn't moved at all. The stadium hasn't moved at all. Well, see, that Sherman turned off a lot of people with the vote. Bro, that was a year ago. We're talking about the vote from last year and why people aren't going out to the ballpark to watch a team that has won 15 of its last 17 games. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore. Again, I'm not even mad at you for not going out there, but if they got 21,000 people out there, then okay, we'll just move on then. All right, fine. You guys aren't bought in this Royals team then. Because some of the other sports cities that you guys look down on, they would show up for their baseball team today. Simple. You guys laugh at Cleveland. If Cleveland was doing this, they'd have 31,000 people out there today. Detroit, Milwaukee. The other sports cities that you guys feel you are superior than, if their baseball team was as good as the Royals, they would go out there today to watch them play the Red Sox. We ain't talking about they got the A's at home today. They got the Boston Red Sox, and it's perfect. It's 75 degrees and slightly windy outside. You can't ask for a better Friday than this. And they got fireworks today. So that's it. We'll see. We'll see today what the attendance is. I'm very, very excited to go out there. I plan on going out there today. I'm going to try to go out there on Sunday as well. I'm really excited to see what Kauffman Stadium looks like coming up later today. All right. I know we only got about 5 to 10 minutes left on the show. I do want to talk a little bit about Bill Belichick before we sign off. So this is what's happening with Bill Belichick. Here is the most recent report from Pablo Torre, who used to be from ESPN. He's not with ESPN anymore. We got more Bill Belichick relationship drama.
Two sources at the University of North Carolina tell me that there has been a decision. It was made last week by the higher-ups inside the athletic department that had hired Bill Belichick to be the highest-paid public employee, not just coach, in the state of North Carolina at $10 million a year. And that decision was that Jordan Hudson is no longer allowed in the football building.
Okay.
She is not allowed on the football field.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, don't think you'll be hearing much from Jordan moving forward.
So this is what happened. Pablo Torre is saying that North Carolina said that they don't want Bill Belichick's girlfriend around anymore. She's been causing too many problems. They think she's a bad look for the organization. They don't want her around anymore. North Carolina came out and released a statement that said that's not true. We love Jordan. We want Jordan around. This is the second time that they have had to release a statement about the coach's girlfriend in the month of May. They just did so last week. Remember, Bill Belichick did that interview with CBS Sunday Morning where he was asked, well, what's their relationship or how do they meet each other? And then she stepped in and says, we're not answering this. It has been a lot going around Bill Belichick. This is a story that we've seen a lot of times. Old, wealthy man in a relationship with a young 20-something. This is the thing that's the weirdest about the Bill Belichick thing. There was no way to see that this would have happened to Bill Belichick. We didn't know anything about Bill for 25 years. Nothing. Didn't know anything. Bill had like a long-standing girlfriend. They were not married. They just were two older people who had been divorced that had just living their lives together. He was in this relationship for over a decade. He then met Jordan while he was talking to this person. He then broke it off with the woman that I just told you about. Her name is Linda Hamilton. Broke it off with her and has now been in this very public relationship with this new person, Jordan Hudson. Now, I'm not here to judge Bill Belichick's life. I don't care. Live your life. Do whatever you want to do. But you don't see how this makes you look, Bill? Like somebody in your family got to, Bill, come here. Can we talk about this? What is she? Is she your girlfriend? Are you guys planning on getting engaged? Is she your publicist? Is she your manager? Like at this point, she's all we talk about in relation to our program. We don't talk about our quarterback. We don't talk about our season opening game. Their season opening game is on ESPN. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about, hey, we think we can win the ACC this year. We think we can make the college football playoff. None of those things. We've spent this time talking about your girlfriend. She has not been a positive for us as a program. This is how I think this ends. I don't think that Bill Belichick is going to coach this year. I think that we are going to wake up at some point in June or July and we are going to get a tweet. We're going to get a tweet from, you guess, whoever. I don't care. And I think it's going to tell us that Bill Belichick has decided to step down. I think at some point his employer is going to come to him and they're going to say it's either her or us. You can't do both anymore. We don't want her around. And I think Bill Belichick at that point is going to quietly step down and just he'll say health reasons or whatever it is. And Bill Belichick will just quietly fade away into the night. I would have never guessed that's how this story was going to go. It has been 2 weeks of Bill Belichick in the middle of tabloid stories. There was a story earlier today that she was so loud and boisterous at a commercial shoot that they had her act out the parts just to make her happy and to move forward, but they didn't turn the camera on for her while she was doing it and just, hey, oh, great, great take. Hey, let Bill come back. I can't think of a person that we looked at as a very super private person that is now living out a very public relationship the way that Bill Belichick is. So I'm not here to judge Bill. You're a consenting adult. She's a consenting adult. But right now, the way that it looks optically, she looks like the young girl that saw an old fool and has completely taken advantage of you. That's what it looks like to the rest of us. That's what it looks like. There was a story last week that she does real estate, because of course she does. She does real estate, and now her portfolio, after dating Bill Belichick, has now grown to $8 million. Bill, you can't see that she's playing you? That this relationship will end in 9 months, and she'll be on Real Housewives of the Potomac. You can't see that? You can't see that this is headed towards her being on The Masked Singer? That's what it looks like to the rest of us, that she's about to play this into a television show and a podcast. You're dating the Hawk 2 girl. That's who Bill Belichick is dating, the Hawk 2 girl. This is crazy. Bill, I'm praying for you, brother. I am. I really am. I'm praying for you. What else we got for the hits, man?
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Karen Gonzalez hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, it's not just all baseball in Kansas. The little football for you, Carrington, is PFF. Our friends over at PFF
are
going through each team and saying if there was one more veteran move to make, what would it be and why? PFF believes the Chiefs should make a move to add a Matthew Judon type and bolster the pass rush. Carrington, you are, I don't want to say you're the leader of the pass rush brigade. You're that with corner. But you might be the co-chair of the pass rush brigade. Do you know the Chiefs
no,
should be?
Not, no, I'm not. Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. I'm not the co-chair of that. I actually think they're okay when it comes to pass rush. Now, I would say that their plan at pass rush is, I mean, it's basically their plan at running back. We don't need to add that much to it. We think that what we have last year will be healthy and more productive this year. In the same way we talk about Isaiah Pacheco, who was banged up for most of 2024, I mean, isn't that the same thing for Charles Omenihu? He had 7 sacks 2 seasons ago. He had 1 sack last year and had 6 tackles. So the Chiefs' plan is healthy Chris Jones, healthy Charles Omenihu, healthy George Karlaftis. If those three anchor our pass rush, we think we got enough. I don't disagree that much with that. And then we also think with Mike Dana and some of the other options, we think we have enough at pass rush to be competitive this year. I mean, I'm not going to be against them going out and spending a little bit of money to go get a veteran. If they got Matthew Judon or another veteran pass rusher to come in and be a situational player, I'm certainly not going to be mad at it. I don't look at pass rush as a need or a necessity for this team as long as they get Charles Omenihu back. Hey, we had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you guys had a lot of fun. Have a great weekend. Go out and enjoy the weather today. It is absolutely beautiful today. I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. Happy Mother's Day to you and yours. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.